Welcome to episode 244 of the McSauce Comic Book Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Hello.
It is Monday night, June 25th, and for tonight's episode, we have a special guest joining us tonight to talk Transformers and nothing but Transformers. We have New Dimension Comics' own Humes Arthur Grossman III.
Hello.
But we call him Chip.
His Majesty.
His Majesty. Humes Arthur Grossman III.
Sir Chip.
Now, the joke is, we just learned all of this. Chip's actual name right now. So, Chip, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's the history of your nickname? Why have you hidden your actual name from us for all these years?
We've known Chip for years. I've been going to New Dimension Comics and West Mifflin for years. I've known you, but I mean, we've reached a new level of like your prince name.
Yeah, we are very intimate now.
Your royalty name.
Why Chip?
An aunt. Like, hey, he looks like a chipmunk. Oh, and that stuck. Like, I probably had Chip longer than like my Humes. Dad's name. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I thought it was connected to the topic that we're going to talk about tonight, which is Transformers. I thought it was Chip.
No, there was this kid I worked with at another comic book store. He's like, you should go by Chiptimus. I'm like, this was like 10 years ago. I'm like, bam. And I've used that ever since, too. So I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, every username. Everywhere.
You're Chiptimus across social media?
Yes, everywhere.
So if Chiptimus. You enjoy Chip tonight, Chiptimus, Instagram, Twitter. We learned he doesn't check Twitter all that often.
No, they yell about things all the time. So
Twitter's an angry place.
It is very angry.
It's almost, though, Twitter can also be so positive, it's angry.
Positive in its anger?
Yeah, positive is in, we're going to support Kelly Marie Tran so hard. We're going to murder your family.
Positive bloodshed.
Yeah. There's like Twitter's not for the balanced heart. But before we get into Transformers talk with Transformers royalty, Mr. Humes Grossman, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
Us lowly serfs to the royal Chiptimus over there is his highness. McSauce.com, home of our strips and our podcast. You can find us mostly on the social medias out there, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, that vile place of yelling and screaming that we were just talking about previous. We recently updated our TeePublic site, and we have new T-shirts available. You can find a variety of different styles, colors. Only one logo, though, people. So if you really want that white-on-white McSauce, you're taking a chance with the printing techniques of TeePublic.
Yeah, we got some feedback over the weekend that, you know, maybe I'll throw a dark logo up there in case you want a white T-shirt. You want the black on the white. Maybe we can do that. Maybe I'll put a navy up there or something.
So by the time you hear this, maybe we'll have some updated TeePublic stuff. Something else coming down the line from the McSauce Factory. You may have noticed this by the time you hear this. I don't know when you'll be hearing this in the future. But you should have a few new episodes in your feed, because what we're doing is we're finally going to be able to join together all of the old episodes in order, so that eventually, by the end of July, you will be able to have all of the episodes in the McSauce feed available for you. If you want to go back, you won't have to go to libsyn.com or mcsaucepodcast.libsyn.com. You won't have to go to a separate archive. You'll be able to find all of them in either your iTunes feed, your Stitcher feed. Hopefully soon we'll be on Spotify. You'll be able to find them all in one place. So if you want to go back in time and listen to the first, I believe that we'll be putting up the first 20 episodes. So if you want to go back in time and listen to some of the old classics.
Ian, those are some of the best.
Those are some of the best. I was reading through them as I was putting them back on the Podomatic site, and our titles were brilliant. They were sparkling back in the day. Some of the highlights that we had in these first 20, and as we release them, I'll try to highlight some of the things that you'll be hearing. We had a 3-episode arc of Star Wars talk.
I was going to point that out because I thought it would be really interesting to go back and explore the 3rd episode, which was our speculation for the sequel trilogy, which was basically after just the Disney acquisition of Star Wars. So we knew nothing at that point.
It was complete nonsense, speculation, garbity-gook. Like,
did you listen to it?
I listened to some of it.
Is there anything where we're even close?
Not even close.
Shit.
So those episodes are 14, 15, and 16. They will be in your feed by the time that you hear this. One thing that I found that was really charming, I listened to the first episode of the Mixos comic book podcast, and within 10 seconds, Paul's phone rings. So even then, his attention to the podcast was iffy at best.
It was that microphone. Picked up a lot. Picked up a lot more than these guys
did.
Do.
Yeah.
It did, especially when you left your phone on and we agreed to turn our phones off. So it did pick that up.
How am I being chastised for my first ever podcast?
Because it continued for 200 plus episodes. Your attention never increased. So, once again, mixsauce.com. Find us in Stitcher, iTunes, soon Spotify. As I mentioned, the classic episodes will be reappearing throughout the month. So stay tuned. I'll update all of you on the...
Those are collector item episodes, by the way.
It's like, I feel like Walt Disney releasing old episodes
out
from
of the vault. Yeah. Only way, way, way better.
I listened to a couple of them. They're not all that good. So, but listen anyway.
Which ones weren't that good?
The quality. Oh. We have new microphones. Mm-hmm. Our podcasting.
But the content was always
sparkling. Well, we are always great, but sometimes, yeah, we're getting our podcast legs underneath us.
The format was different, remember? There used to be a 2-hour episode and we would have the impromptu pizza break. We never knew when that was going
to
be.
That's true. Yeah, go back and listen to the pizza break, which was surprise pizza break.
Right. So it would just come out of nowhere, and it would kill the flow of the show.
What's funny is noticing that what you've been reading was an episode 2 invention. So
wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, so go back.
I thought that was going to be like a every episode staple, but
we can.
We don't.
I think
read
in episode
weekly.
2, I thought that's good. It hasn't been.
So, yep, that's what we got for the old...
Well, that explains why there's so many Mixos episodes showing up in my iTunes feed these days.
There you go.
So tonight we're going to get into a little Transformers talk. We're going to cover all kinds of Transformers ground, and we're going to do our best to keep Matt interested and engaged.
Good luck with that.
And ready to
this is going
to
be a very light Matt Cassell episode. So all of you guys out there that hate him, congratulations.
I could turn up the snark like to an 11 tonight.
What is it normally calibrated to? Because I feel like it's always pretty high.
Is it?
Listeners, give us feedback. Is Matt snarky?
I think that I've toned it down the last year or so. No? Okay.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think we could turn it up. I think we can all turn it up. So we've been talking for a long time. Why don't we turn the mic over to Chip and tell us your first experience with Transformers. You're our age. You grew up with Transformers. This is a childhood love that has only grown stronger in the years.
I think I remember going into into Jamesway in Grove City, just randomly and going.
What is Jamesway?
It was one of the stores at the time.
Like, yeah, but like, what was it like a Kmart?
Was it like a service merchandise?
Like Ames Hills. It was a smaller Hills. I don't think any of them exist
anymore.
Case
in point, are beating their dicks right now.
Was Hills a nationwide chain? Or
I
think it was the bigger of these things. Like it was, you know, Kmart level.
It was like the Target of its day, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
The Jamesway.
Regional. Specifically Jamesway was where I first found them. I'm like, what is this? It was G1 Kickback One of the Insecticons was the first thing. I was like, what? This turns into a robot? Okay, I have to have this. And unfortunately, there were crap tons of cartoons, so you just get kind of drawn in. I'm like, okay, I got to have all these. It's like Pokemon before Pokemon. Like, I got to have that jet and that hovercraft and that UFO. Mm-hmm. Like, give me all that stuff.
Yeah, I think I got drawn in by the cartoon first. And, like, I don't remember a time before Transformers. There were always Transformers. Transformers was always part of the big three. Transformers, Star Wars, and He-Man. That was the triumvirate of my childhood. And, I don't remember a time when any of those didn't exist. I feel like I was birthed from the womb with Prince Adam and Optimus Prime and Luke Skywalker.
That's a horrifying birth that I'm witnessing in my head.
Or was that the greatest birth?
Yes, could possibly be. I think my experience with Transformers, I remember going to into Children's Palace and seeing like the display set up and looking at, even then I was like, this one up here is like really super expensive. So I'm not even going to really look at this Optimus Prime guy. What are these little teeny tiny ones? I think I got Cliffjumper first.
Nice.
I think he was my first Transformer.
He was the Red Beetle, correct?
As the mold, it was like just a repaint of Bumblebee, but on the show, isn't he? He's some other car.
I think like,
he was a Renault Encore.
Okay.
What's that?
It was a French car. It was a French hatchback. Mm-mm. No?
Nope.
What was he?
I only learned this recently.
Well, see, this is...
I thought it was...
This is why we have...
This is why I wanted Sir Chip so, on like, for so long.
Like, I didn't realize this. I thought it was something random or just like a super deformed kind of style or something they made up. It's a Porsche.
He's a Porsche.
He's a
crunched ass fat Porsche.
Yes, he was a Porsche.
Really?
Yeah, I was. Did like, they
make this is going to be fun? Counting how many times Chip corrects Paul tonight.
I've been prepared for this.
Like I didn't know what he was. I thought they just kind of went, oh yeah, it's got to fit that like Bumblebee kind of style. So we'll just kind of make it like this and give it like
a. Did that car really exist?
That style. It did.
It was, but it's squished, like super squished. There's some unofficial companies making some cliff jumpers and they're using the that kind of style. It's the I can't remember. It's not the one with the like bug lights, but
yeah, it is squished. The car is the Porsche 924.
There you go.
Which looks a lot more like Windcharger.
Okay. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, Porsche 924 is absolutely a squished cliff jumper, I guess, to better fit the molds. So, how about that? Yeah. I always thought he was a Renault Encore because we had a Renault Encore when I was little.
Told
and it was
that,
no, yeah. That's the shape of the car. It's like a squat beetle-ish hatchback.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything near as luxurious as a Porsche.
I clearly remember, so that for me, the toys definitely happened first because I remember the show coming out as an event. I remember asking my dad to tape it. I remember it being in TV Guide and there being advertisements for the show coming out and there was anticipation. So whenever it came out, we were taping it. I got to watch episode one over and over again. So it definitely was the toys first and then the show happened. Whereas with He-Man, I remember watching the show and then getting the toys. There wasn't the same level of, or at least I think that was how it went with He-Man as well. But Transformers, I vividly remember like pressing play or pressing record on the VCR and taping the first episode.
Yeah, Cliffjumper may have been my first Transformer 2. I wish I still had him. Matt, what's your first memory of Transformers? I know your second is stop all this nonsense, but what was the first?
I can't pinpoint it, but as I've talked about before on the show, my brother was a big Transformers fan, and he had a lot of them. I can't really pinpoint it. All my Transformers memories are sort of jumbled, but
your brother's a a year older than you?
He's 2 years older than me. And I think that there was a certain level of dexterity required to play with Transformers that I lacked. That's why the few that I liked, like Cliffjumper or Bumblebee, I kind of liked because I could do those ones. I liked the GoBots because, like, you know, Leader One flipping his head and tucking in his wings and done.
Yeah, they were pretty easy.
Like, okay, so I remember watching the cartoon show, and I think where I would get frustrated was I wanted to kind of recreate that kind of action while playing with the toys. And in the show, the robots would be running, and in mid-run, they would transform into airplanes and then take off. But while you're playing, it's like you're having them run across the table, and it's like, and pause. And then you have to, like, transform it. 35 minutes later, you're like, you forget where you even left off in your, you know,
your playtime.
And it just, like, to me, that just wasn't fun. I always thought they looked cool. One of my favorite things about it was the infrared, strips that you would get, and it would have what their stats on the packaging. Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
Very much in the style of G.I. Joe, the backs of the G.I. Joe cards.
Yeah, but these were more like hidden, which was, I guess, that kind of played up like the whole point of these things. They're robots in disguise. So it's sort of like this is on the down low, only for special people to know this kind of information. What kind of information was on the infrared section, Ian?
Well, I'm fiddling with a book that has said infrared cards right now. So the kind of information, it was like stats. Oh, okay. So you would have a jumbled up, like sort of like you could look at strength, intelligence, speed, endurance, and you would take the red strip and place it on top of the on top of the little card here, and then you could actually decipher the chart of where all the
look at that
points
that
were.
Thanks
for the assist there, Joe. I thought I had to slip it in here.
Yeah, that
into the book, because there are groups
Dungeons and Dragons. You didn't even know you were playing it, Paul. But look at that, they're getting you ready for RPGs.
Yeah, I never advanced to RPGs. It's never my thing.
So yeah, I don't really know what definitively like marks my introduction to Transformers. I remember it being on, you know, the TV show. I remember that being on a lot, but my brother's thing was Transformers, and at the same time my thing was He-Man, and I think we know what's cooler between the two.
You were just universes apart. You couldn't bring yourself to like something.
It was very similar. My brother was very peripherally interested in He-Man, whereas I was peripherally interested in Transformers. Like, it was more through like osmosis. Like, I just didn't really. I'm sure I wouldn't have had any had I not had my brother, and he would not have had any He-Man figures if I wasn't around. So.
And as we know from 200 plus episodes of the show, you love taking sides. You like fighting with people.
So I do.
Took the side of He-Man, and that's fine.
I think that's a very noble side to take.
He was a master of the universe.
Now, Ian, Paul talked about his triumvirate. Did I get that word right?
Yeah.
Because that's a
heck
nice of a
job.
Word that you use it occasionally. Triumvirate. Ian, what was your 7-year-old triumvirate? You know what? Actually, this is probably pre-7. We're probably needing to go back to when you were 5.
Yeah, didn't Transformers chip 84? Is that whenever the cartoon
came
out?
Yeah, 1984.
So, 4 years old.
4-year-old Ian.
Chip, you were 27 when Transformers came out?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, no.
Chip's only a couple of years 11. Older than me, so.
I was 11 when they came out.
Yeah.
My triumvirate would be the same. Luke, Optimus, He-Man.
Chip, what about you?
I think the progression was, let's see, math. G.I. Joe, like Star Wars, G.I. Joe, then Transformers. I think Transformers is where I just found that, like, that's the thing. But, like, I was heavy into Star Wars before that, and then G.I. Joe came along, and there was a massive cartoon for that. And
if you look at it in, from Star Wars to G.I. Joe to Transformers, they eventually get you to where you're going. Like Star Wars had cool ships that didn't do anything. G.I. Joe had ships that some would transform into other things, or at least had like moving parts.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Transformers would just blew your brains out.
But the heroes were very lacking for me in G.I. Joe. I always ended up siding with Cobra, not because I'm a terrorist, but because I like their uniforms.
Aren't you? Have you looked in the mirror?
I mean, oh, wow. Holy crap.
That was scummy. Hey, my triumvirate, and I'm surprised none of you guys said this, but it was Star Wars, He-Man, and of course superheroes. Like, I'm surprised that
no superheroes came. Didn't... Superheroes came later, especially yeah. for me. Paul in his mid 40s, me in my late teens.
Your late 30s?
No,
that's not true. You started collecting when you were like 11 or 12.
I know, I was just doing a bit still. Whenever I was a teenager, and even a little bit before that is whenever.
But
I
you
was,
weren't
like,
into
11,
it as a
12.
Little kid, like you weren't watching the superpowers, and you didn't.
I
have
watched
the Secret
Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Did you have the Secret Wars figures? Back?
I had a couple. I had Iron Man. I had both the red and blue and the black Spider-Man. I had Doc Ock. I had Doctor Doom, but they weren't on the same level as Transformers. Or He-Man or Star Wars. It just wasn't. It wasn't the same thing.
Yeah,
like they were a step below. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. All of them were a step below. But then eventually, rose up to consume my life enough to have 200 fucking episodes of a podcast about superheroes and that stuff.
Chip, you run a comic book store right now. What was your childhood relationship with superheroes? Because I'm with Ian. Like I had. Like the same superpowers and Secret Wars figures, but they never reached that upper echelon. They weren't even like Thundercats and Silverhawks important to me.
Yeah, they
like,
were below that.
I remember special. Having.
Oh, wow, that hurts.
Like I have it right now.
I can't relate to you guys
right
now.
Like
I love Thundercats and Silverhawks. Like, they were right there with. Right. They were to me.
They
higher
were
than G.I. Joe.
100%. I have a Green Lantern tattoo. Like, I will, you know, fall on my sword for Green Lantern at this point. But up until I started getting into comic books in the early 2000s, I wasn't even, like, there was a moment of realization of who that Green Lantern superpowers figure was. Like, I went back into to the DC Encyclopedia and I started doing some research. I was like, oh, that's who this guy is. Like, this guy that I like now, that was that superpowers figure. That's how low superheroes ranked when I was a kid. So... Chip, where did the superheroes rank for you?
I think after Transformers and like the action figure thing, I went into video games, like the Nintendo hit and Sega, and like I rode that stuff.
Matt's
until,
in.
Like,
let's talk more about this, Chip.
I can feel this is, the hijacking of this episode happen right
this
now.
This is like seven episodes in a row where video games have come up, and I feel like, Paul, there's going to be a noose hanging here for the next episode so Paul can hang himself.
We've covered this before. Like it's really weird. I don't know what it is because I had Nintendo. I had...
You don't know what you had. We talked about it last week.
I had Nintendo. I had Sega. I played Super Nintendo. I played all those games, but... When you guys get into, like, this is what Sega was trying to do to get more sales and, like, the business side of it, I'm just like, it's snooze fest. And the same, once we get past Sega, I'm out. I haven't played video games unless it was the hockey game since. So when you guys are talking about, like, well, the latest Metal Gear Solid or whatever that shit is, I don't even know what that game looks like. How am I going to talk about it? I'm being facetious to make my point. So Chip, you were into some weird video game shit. Let's go.
It was just the early. I think I had an Odyssey 2. It was the early before Nintendo. Like it made that. It was that transition. I think my parents. Odyssey. Yeah, I don't know who made that one. There was Intellivision 2 and the Atari.
I remember those.
There was those.
Do you know who made Intellivision
from
Nintendo?
No.
Odyssey. Yeah, I don't know who made that one.
Who made Intellivision?
Well, let me give you a hint. There was a game on it that I wanted very, very badly called Masters of the Universe. And we had an Atari at the time, and we couldn't get Masters of the Universe because it was only on Intellivision. Who made Intellivision?
Hasbro.
Motherfucker, Paul.
Kenner.
You're fired.
Mattel.
God damn it.
Oh, I learned something. I didn't know. at Intellivision.
You're welcome back anytime.
It is sort of useless trivia, though. Like, he was baiting you.
It's a logical question. It didn't occur to me.
Let the audience know.
I played Burger Time.
I got those questions wrong for Chip's benefit. There
you go. You know who makes C-Man.
As you flailed at toy companies of the 80s.
No, I didn't.
No?
No, I totally should have. I'm sure Justin Case is boarding a plane right now to come kill me after hearing this. But yeah, it's just, I blanked. So you had Intellivision made by Mattel.
Yeah, Intellivision into Atari.
Did you play Masters?
I didn't even know that happened. Like, I played Burger Time and a few other, like, there was a D&D game.
Paul, Mattel?
Burger Time a Nintendo game?
Burger Time was cross.
I think it was on a bunch of stuff.
You can get it on your
Commodore 64. The Intellivision was unique in its controller. It was like a remote control. And it had like a keypad on the bottom portion of it, and you would slide like cards.
It was a cellophane like insert.
That would come with each game that would have like printed crap on it, and then, you know, it would go over top of the keypad, so then it would show you like.
So you would
what
know like
was
when
what.
You wanted to pepper the egg or sandwich that was chasing you in Burger Time, you could hit the right button.
I love peppering the old egg.
You gotta know which condiment will defeat said condiment.
You don't
want
to ketchup the egg.
Or
you gotta know when to pepper the egg.
Seasoning will defeat the ingredients monsters. What a horrific game Burger Time is. Could you imagine being thrust into the world of Burger Time?
I think there's games like that now, I think. Isn't it called, like, Order Up or something?
Where I like those weird, goofy puzzle games like that. I remember playing Burger Time. I dug Burger Time. Burger Time was, like, you know, early, early Tetris nonsense.
There was a game a friend of mine showed me just last week on the Intellivision called Snafu. Do you remember Snafu?
No, I never.
It was, like, this game where there would be up to four players, and you would have this, like, caterpillar or whatever, and you would leave a trail everywhere that you went, and you would try to like box in other people with their caterpillar trails, and it looked wildly like addictive and super simple, but it was kind of funny to look at something so simple but yet it had that magic ingredient that would actually like still be fun to play today. Anyway, Snafu.
I don't remember Snafu.
I never even heard of it until last Wednesday.
Was there a Transformers game for Intellivision?
No, I think the Transformers video game history has been kind of spotty. There was a newish one within, what, the last 3 years or so called, was it like Deception or something?
Devastation.
Devastation.
Yeah, it was very... cartoon animated style.
Yeah, it looked
really good.
Yeah, like they brought back a lot of the original voice actors and the music and stuff. It was kind of a little more basic of a game, but it was, I'm like, build on this, just do this, just keep doing this with these voice actors. Like, they brought back Michael Bell for Prowl, and like
it's
they
the
had all this
stuff
and I'm
it's
like
the good stuff right there.
It just disappeared. I'm like, why is that? This How, is your thing.
Did it,
this
did
is
it
G1.
Well?
Like, did why aren't do you well? Doing more of this? So,
how did it do?
Yeah, I think it did fairly well, but I mean, it's Transformer people are like, they're collectors. They collect toys. Like, occasionally, like me, like I like consuming the comics and the video games and all the random stuff. But a lot of times people are in one niche and they don't, like, I don't care about the video games because they're just collectors. But
so let me ask you this, and this is one of the problems I've had with Transformers throughout the years. I don't think this is based on my nostalgia for the old cartoon or the old toys. I think this has a lot to do with my years of being a graphic designer and my design sensibilities. Why is there so much change from those original G1 designs to what we have now? Like, you know, Prime's generally Prime all the time, but...
It rhymed.
I imagine they just want to do their style or change it up. I mean, it's
like
kind of inherent.
We
with
just
the brand,
saw art before
but...
we started. Like, Prowl was a police car, and I think that look of all those cars, like, you know, Jazz, Hound, where the hood of the car becomes their chest, like, it's just such an iconic look. But, you know, they make him an indecipherable. Like, I couldn't have even told you he was a motorcycle based on his robot design. And that's a problem I have with a lot of these new designs. Like, I look at them, especially in the Michael Bay movies, I'm like, what the fuck are you? I don't even know what you're going to be.
Well, no,
and I don't think that's a benefit. Like, oh, it's a surprise. What's he gonna turn into? No, I want to look at you and be like, oh, you're a beetle.
There's car parts. You want car parts and vehicle parts, and like, yeah. There's a wing on his shoulder. And,
it needs to have some kind of scientific sense to it.
Sure, sure. I think this is something that Hasbro's been struggling with recently to kind of bring their brand in line, because like the stuff that resonated was all that G1 stuff. Like, you've got wings and cars, like you got like the front of a car for feet, and like it's this visual aesthetic that various creative people over the years, I'm like, oh, I'll just do it this way, and they meander and they do different things, and they just don't like they lose. It's like changing, like, oh, I'm just gonna change Spider-Man's costume because I'm creative and I want to make my mark. It's like, well, yeah, don't, because that's Spider-Man. It's kind of one of those rare instances where it's perfect,
right?
Like, there, like, it doesn't happen all the time, but there. So like, and like, when you get Hollywood involved, they're just like, yeah, we want to do it our way because we're big self-entitled movie producers and directors, and like, so and when the movie's made tons of money, Hasbro's like, they can't do anything because what they just did worked. But in recent years, they've been struggling to unify the brand, and they've been really pulling it back to G1. Like, everything is about to just be more what you want. Like, the new Bumblebee movie is like, oh yeah, he looks like a car that turned into a robot. Like,
he gets to actually be a Beetle instead of the coolest car that's out now. He just gets to be a simple Beetle, like how he was supposed to
be. Go watch, everyone listening, go watch the Bumblebee trailer right now. Now you're back. One of the coolest things about that trailer is when what's her face?
I don't know what her face is.
When she's under the car?
When she's under the car and she sees the face.
Yep.
Because that's what would happen if you picked up a Transformers toy and looked underneath
parts
it.
Parts are tucked in underneath.
Right.
Yep.
They don't just disappear into 1,000 different pieces that matter nowhere. Like, everything fits where it's supposed to. And like that, like, I've hated all the Michael Bay stuff. So that one little piece did so much for me to bring me back in. And then you see Bumblebee transform later. You know, he's kind of got like the ear things going on. His face is still complete dog shit. But there are other big car parts, and he's a Beetle again, and they're not shying away from that.
The fact that I read an article that the headline was, who's the villain in the new Bumblebee movie? Well, I watched the trailer, and if you know what Transformers are, then you know that's Starscream.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like the character.
Oh yeah, it doesn't look like some chicken bug alien. I'm like, what is that? It was just being born again with these movies. I'm like, that's him. Like, that's the square head with the weird intakes on the side of the face. Like,
it's the right color. Like, I instantly was like, oh, Starscream, that's cool.
Yeah, a military jet that's red and white, or red, white, and with a little bit of blue. I'm like, you did it. You did it. It's not just a gray tattooed jet. I'm like, okay, I'm back. Like, I'm so hopeful for this movie.
Chip, did you like any of the Transformers movies to this point?
The initial one was so like groundbreaking because it was my thing, and they made a movie into it, and like the effects were awesome, and I went with the creative decisions, and Optimus was fine, so it was okay because the main character looked, you know, like Optimus.
Close enough.
And like, there was some design decision, like, we want him to be bigger, so we made him a bigger truck.
I get
like,
it.
Okay. We want him to be rad, so we gave him flames.
I get fine. It. They don't make, you know, the flat face, you know, tractors anymore.
Have you tried to photograph a Mack truck like that? It's horrible. Of all the pictures, I love that design, but it is the most unphotogenic vehicle ever. Because it's like, it's a box.
It's a box with wheels on the
back. You can't do it. So like the Peterbilt, the longer nose one, is like, oh yeah, you can get some. It's probably why they did it. They said it was mass related because they wanted everything to be like, if it had mass, it turned into a thing with equal mass. Like, they didn't do any mass shifting,
right?
Which was kind of neat, but Like, I'm like, oh yeah, here's this thing. It's an alien. I'm like, they focus too much on that alien aspect. I'm like, we don't want them to be alien bugs. We want them to be giant robot people that turn into things.
And we can relate to them. Clearly aliens, though. I thought they come from an alien planet.
They do, but I don't want them to be like, what's the bug guy from Space Ghost? Like, I don't want them to be bugs.
Yeah,
or like,
well,
they don't need to look alien.
They look too buggy. They didn't look human.
They looked organic, like, and that's not what
Megatron has.
Like. They look,
Megatron has a face.
Yeah,
he's got an like
a distinguishable
flat
face,
eyes,
that
nose,
can
and a mouth. Right. You can feel emotion coming off of those characters. Like Bumblebee has some still in this new movie has some weird circle for a mouth.
They gave him some like he's gonna emote. I'm gonna cry a lot.
Even the way the way like, you know, the eyes are like in the sockets and like they can move around a little bit. But then I had no problem with we're gonna change Optimus's truck shape. It's fine, I get it. The rest of them still looks like Optimus Prime, but everyone else, you couldn't even tell what they are when they were transformed. Like the faces are all different and there's too many things happening. They look too alien for you to really develop an emotional connection with them.
Even character things. It wasn't Ironhide British or something weird. Like didn't
initially?
They do... Yeah. Like,
no, he was very military bro. He was basically so Peter Cullen, the guy who does Optimus Prime, also did Ironhide initially.
Oh.
And he based Ironhide, or no, it was Optimus, he based on his brother.
Who no, I mean like in the military. I mean in the movie. In the new movie.
There's
like,
my guns. He's just a big, you know, kind of redneck sounding.
I thought they changed him. Like somebody's British that shouldn't
be
British.
Ratchet.
And maybe it was Ratchet. I don't know.
Might be.
But like it seemed to go against the flow of the character.
For me, they didn't have enough personality. And I get you're making, even though you have Michael Bay money to spend, you can't make that movie like the cartoon, because the cartoon is about the robots and Spike and Spark Plug are the side characters. But you can't spend all of that money making on all of that digital effects. Like it's, you can't, you still
just
in this day and age, you still can't practically do it. So I get why the decision is to pull back on the amount of robots, focus on Shia LaBeouf, but Transformers isn't about the human characters. It's about these robots trying to get back home. The original story of that first season of Transformers is perfect. It's flawless. And Michael Bay, for I'm sure production reasons and story reasons, just, you know, went completely in the other direction.
I don't think for production, for like
it's budgetary.
Michael Bay's intrinsic filmmaker.
He's a budget. He's like
he doesn't want to make that movie about.
Well, it's budgetary. Like we have so much. He stays on budget. He's very conscious of that. So it's like that's why the people are there, and that's why they spend so much time focusing on them. But like
we're spending too much money on these robots. Kill one of them halfway through. Jazz gets ripped in half.
Jazz lives matter, man. Come on.
Wow.
I liked the part in the first Transformers movie where the Scorpion comes out of the sand in the desert and attacks that like group of U.S. soldiers that have to like take cover in that little crap town. And that battle is so cool because they have to radio in for like the big airplane gunner.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of caliber.
A-10,
the A-10.
The Warthog.
That was it.
Yeah, they called in those things.
And then it has that really cool shot where it's like from the plane, it shows it shooting those giant shells down onto that Transformer. I thought that was such a good scene because A, it showed how tough the like Transformers are and like what, you know, humans are up against. Plus it was, I mean, this is going to be you're going to think I'm hyperbolizing here, Ian, but I think that's one of the best action scenes in a movie. I thought that scene was the scene stealing scene of that movie.
That movie kind of had a lot of those, like,
what else?
Blackout. That blackout scene is probably one of my, like, as much
see
as
the,
I,
the bad,
the helicopter, car? The helicopter that comes rolling in, like, quietly to that military base and lands. It's the first thing we see transform.
Oh, yeah.
And you're sitting there and you see these parts moving and this helicopter turns into a giant robot on the screen.
I want to go watch this movie now, like, Ian.
Sir Chip's talking you into it, man.
I'll tell you
that
what,
first
Sir
movie
Chip
has it.
Was Blackout created for that movie? Like he's not
I'm pretty sure he's movie specific.
Why did they feel the need to create most of the Decepticons? Like I felt like a lot of the Decepticons were just newly created.
I would have almost them Hollywood. Just I would have yeah. almost rather them have repurposed Springer, who was a helicopter, to be Blackhawk.
Well, couldn't there's got to be a helicopter Decepticon somewhere.
There might have been a name that was used on like a MicroMaster or something.
Just
but
pay those motherfuckers for copter. Come on,
copter. I
mean, Michael Bay is just so bad at making movies, though.
He's a bad storyteller.
He lost his way after Bad Boys.
He's a visually just he basically does commercials.
Yeah,
so
right.
Like one way I've started describing those movies. Is like they're commercials. They're commercials for the naked people. They're commercials for Megan Fox's butt.
Which I mean, I'll buy that.
Sure.
I mean,
but like he's good at like the little snippets, but he's not a storyteller, and he'll cut things together in expense of the story. We'll just cut that out.
Because he's a video director, right?
Exactly.
Like he came
he's
from
visual,
like MTV, like 1980s, 1990s heyday of video making.
Yeah. So it's he.
So get this. Get this. I read. This past week, that Michael Bay is involved in the relaunch of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and he's going to be producer on a reboot.
Well, he was producer.
Didn't he already do that?
Yeah, he was producer on the last two.
Right. My point is, if you didn't like those, well, now his fingerprints are going to be on this too. It's like.
How can
he just not be involved in shit that we liked when we were younger?
How can he make the Ninja Turtles more Michael Bay-ish than what we've already received?
But you liked
the
second
one.
The second one was really good.
Yeah.
Did you not like the first one? I liked it.
It was all right, but the second one is better.
Second one's better.
I still haven't
seen it.
It's
really.
Significantly better. Like it's like what the first one should have been.
No kidding.
So, like, in the first one, they spent a lot of time focusing on the people. Like, in, like, who's Will Arnett? I don't care about Will Arnett. Megan Fox, bad casting. But, like, in the second one, they're literally just there to progress the plot. They're there, boom, and it's, like, you're back to Turtles, and, like,
you get some solid Bebop.
Yes, Bebop and
Rocksteady.
Like, oh, perfect. Wow. So. Like,
yeah, how'd they get
it?
Those guys perfect, but they screwed up the Turtles so bad.
Well, the Turtles, like, personalities were there, but yeah, visually it's like, visually. Oh, they're giant linebackers. This is weird.
Yeah.
Right. Like, well, their whole shtick was their strength.
Ninjas.
Yeah, it was
they
like,
had the
why
proportionate
are they 10 feet
strength
tall?
Of a turtle or something. And like the whole point is they're ninjas. They're supposed to be fast and nimble and silent, but instead it's a team of incredible Hulks.
Yeah, that's I still don't know why they did that. It didn't make sense. Other than, like, okay, so that's how big the mocap people were with the various turtle things on. I can think. Like, it doesn't... Like, there was no reason to make them that big.
Like, you could conceivably buy the Jim Henson puppet... not puppet, but, like, the costumes that Jim Henson created for the 90s Turtles. Mm-hmm. Those could conceivably sneak around in the shadows, do some ninja business, like... Because those those actors and stunt people had to do... there was no green screen. They had to do all that stuff. So I think that was a little bit more believable than the Incredible Hulk style.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Matt, this is news to me that Michael Bay is going to be connected
in. Yeah, I don't even know where I read that or heard that, but it was somewhere.
Yeah. So Chip, is there a favorite piece of Transformers media or lore that you find yourself going back to time after time?
There's one of the IDW comics that's been really good over the last, like, has it been 5 years? As the guy who's been writing it is he started out as a Transformer fan fiction writer, and so he's a Transformer fan, so he's done more world building and like and treated them as if they're actual, like, this robot being that turns into things. Like they reference their physiology and their transformation cogs and their various parts, and he treats them like they're this different being instead of just, you know, some most people just write them as though, you know, they're just people. Mm-hmm. And like they don't, a lot of times they just don't worry about them turning into things. But
what's his name?
James Roberts. He's a British. I'm pretty sure this is the only comic he's written. He wrote Last Stand of the Wreckers, which is kind of the Watchmen of Transformer comics. Mm-hmm. And it was just, he got it. Like he, there was just this connection to like, these are characters and like nothing else compares to this guy's style of writing with them. So like usually that's kind of what I go back to. Cause
and this is the current idea.
Yeah. It's actually coming to a close now, but yeah, he's been on it. I think 5 to 7 years.
Did it start? And it started with whenever the main Transformer book broke off into two different, like, robots in disguise
and More Than Meets the Eye.
Part of the main cast of the Transformers left Cybertron in the hunt for, I forget what,
but the Knights of Cybertron,
and the rest of the cast stayed on Cybertron. And hacked out, sort of like a, so there was like civil unrest happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of political stuff, political intrigue, and like it's post-war, so the war's over.
And the, like, Decepticons have been defeated, but there are still factions of the
Decepticons. Yeah, they're there, there's, you know, the Autobots are there, the Decepticons there, and then there's like the non-aligned who are there. They're just like, oh, you guys have just wrecked the, you know, wrecked the galaxy for like 6 million years. And now we're back here trying to settle in. So it's all the ramifications of that.
Who are the non-aligned?
I don't. There wasn't any name specific characters, but they're the, like, the Cybertronians that didn't pick a side. They called them nails, and that became like a derogatory term. But it was some neat world building.
Another N-word. Jeez, oh man.
Why is it that IDW gets all the properties from the 80s? It seems. Is there a reason why that company
probably
seems
just pay for it and it's consistent their brand?
Yeah, but like, why not Marvel, or, you know, why?
Marvel
got a big one.
Marvel didn't care for a long time. Marvel's like, we're our own thing. I think they care more now, since they got Star Wars and they've been doing really well with that, and they just reacquired Conan. So I feel like you might see Marvel.
Or did they reacquire Conan?
Yeah, that's coming out soon.
When?
I don't know if it's this year, but they made some announcement 3 or 4 months ago.
Do we know any of the creative talent on it?
No, it's very early. They just announced that they got the license.
And DC does do its thing with all the Hanna-Barbera properties in He-Man. So,
but IDW's got G.I. Joe, Transformers,
Micronauts, Mask,
My Little Pony.
Not part of their
Ghostbusters.
Big crossover.
Ghostbusters is another really big one.
Yeah,
that
Ghostbusters.
Was, Turtles.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's just what they've decided to spend their licensing dollars on, and kind of build their brand around. We are the one-stop shop for 80s revival.
You know who
stuff.
That used to be? Like
Image had a lot.
Well,
of
the
those.
Company. Well, yeah, specifically for those. But the company that kind of cut its teeth on scooping up, you know, third-party properties rather than developing their own stuff for the most part was Dark Horse.
Yeah.
They had Terminator. They had Predator.
Aliens, yeah.
Did they have RoboCop for a time? Or RoboCop was a Marvel property.
Marvel
for a
had
long
it for
time.
A bit, yeah.
Because Marvel made
then
that
Avatar
TV show.
Avatar or something.
Avatar had it, and it was, it was very violent.
Like, yeah, so that was like the Frank Miller cut or
aliens
whatever.
Aliens for Dark Horse.
Hellboy.
Yeah. Sorry to derail there.
That's your job tonight. I understand. But so that's the main thing that you would go back to is the current IDW.
Because the other stuff's been so like inconsistent. Like,
what about the Pat Lee era of stuff?
You don't like the Pat Lee
stuff?
I really liked that stuff.
It looked amazing, but like I remember starting to read it, and I'm like, this is very hollow. The writing wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, those guys were just
I haven't revisited
really good artists.
It in a while, but I remember really, it was a point in comic book buying where I had fallen out, and I think I was only getting Garth Ennis's Punisher or something like one book, and then there was this 80s revival kind of spearheaded by the Transformers. There was the He-Man stuff that came back. G.I. Joe was a property that was getting revived.
And the Transformer stuff, I thought was one of my favorite books for a while. So, but maybe I was a
I had been reading so many comics by that point. Like, I would have had a very particular, like, a very, I want to call it, maybe snobby. You just have like, yeah, that's not, because like, you know what good comics are by that point. And when you hit that, it's like, I love Transformers, but like, I, up until the last like 5 or 6 years, it's like, I read Transformer comics because they're Transformer comics, not because they're good comics. Now there is one that I can point
to. Glowing review.
Yeah. Maybe I was blinded by just the revival. And as you mentioned before,
well, yeah, nostalgia.
It looked awesome.
That was,
like, oh no. Yeah, definitely. Nostalgia will get you. There was like a Thundercats one that was, you know, anytime there's like nostalgic hits, I'm like, yeah, do it. Like, let's see this.
But at that time, that Dreamwave stuff, that was the first.
Oh yeah, that's probably the best the comics looked in like a decade.
Well, and not, it was going back aside to from Generation that, One. Yeah. It was styles it, and
right,
and
but it,
models.
They hadn't really done much with Transformers in the comics until then. Like,
no, I don't think at all, because it was, I think they had a early '90s. There was a G2 run that was like maybe 12 issues, and then that was it. And then
I had
until
a few
like,
of those G2
like, I guess
issues.
Early 2000s was the Pat Lee stuff.
Yeah, so, it was like 2001 somewhere.
Yeah,
around
so it was
there.
Almost a decade probably without a Transformers comic.
I think it ran until 2004, whenever Pat Lee bankrupted the company. Does he still do work?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I need to get that run of books out too, because I remember really liking it. I thought it, like, I had the same, like, I didn't like how Spike was an adult and he hated the Transformers when you pick it up. Like, he hadn't seen them in years and they weren't friends anymore. But I remember really liking that series. But I was also a comic book newbie at that point. I didn't have 50 years of comics under my belt like Humes over here.
I read a lot, so yeah, that probably, you could probably equate that. I hit 89 and just started consuming comic books left and right. So yeah, it's probably about 50 years worth of stuff.
I wanna, like, I really wish I liked more of what Transformers has had to offer. Like, I remember watching some of the Beast Wars and I thought Arachnia was really cool.
You have to get past the first really season on that stuff, and then the writing gets pretty good. And
that's
there's
what I've heard.
It's like the hidden gem of
the Transformers line.
Yeah, no, it is. It is, and I kind of hated it for a while because it wasn't like, my Prime's not a monkey; he's a truck. Like, what are you doing here?
But what was Megatron?
Not hashtag
T-Rex.
Not my yeah. Prime.
It was the whole thing was truck, not monkey, was always the kind of thing. So, but yeah,
early
like,
internet. Speaking,
yeah, 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 absolutely. It would have been hashtag back then. If
like
know,
what,
I just didn't like.
Why would
the...
they have made him a lion? That was always my problem. Like, you know, King of the Jungle, Prime's, you know, the king. Like, why isn't he like the regal lion? Why is he a fucking ape?
Well, they're not the same characters. Like, they have like Megatron's not Megatron. He picked that name. He named himself after Megatron.
He's not the leader of the bad guys.
He is, but he's not G1 Megatron.
Oh, I see.
Like, it's not just, you know, G1 Megatron and a Dinobot, you know, body. It's a different guy.
Now, I have a question. Why? Now, Optimus Prime has pretty much stayed the course and maintained a general look, the same look throughout all of the incarnations that he's had. Megatron, however, has been wildly different transformation bodies and different like ways that he's interacted with the Transformers. Why do you think that is, that they just make the ultimate villain in the universe so easily like replaceable and changeable?
Well, he started out as a gun, and it's really hard to market a toy to kids.
A Nazi gun.
That's actually a Nazi gun, but like they've tried to settle on like a tank motif, which is just a big mobile gun. So you see that a lot, and they've been able to
much
approximate
more acceptable. Mobile gun.
It's a tank. It's a vehicle. Like,
Are we ever going to get in the place where we can go back to just gun, Nazi, the straight up Nazi? We might be there.
You want him to be a Mauser?
I just want him to be a regular fucking. He's a Walther.
We can make him a Nazi tank. I'm
the
sure
Walther P-38.
Yeah,
I can settle on tank. I'm good with
tank.
Tank's
fine.
We talked briefly earlier about mass displacement.
Yep.
And, that's, you know,
so we don't like him shrinking down.
Well, we all watched the Toys That Made Us Transformers episode.
We did not all watch that.
Three of the four of us. Ian didn't because he hates Transformers.
My wife is holding my viewing captive.
Come on, Tracy. So
I didn't get through the whole thing.
What the creator's saying it is that that just wasn't, it wasn't it wasn't acknowledged. Megatron goes from a giant robot to a little gun, and no one says anything about it in the cartoon. And that's perfectly fine. In a world where robots come to Earth and they transform into cars, like, I had no problem with that as a kid. I have no problem with that now. Like, I don't need, like, I don't need super movie science.
That's weird because you love the science of things lining up.
I do.
And that's something that will completely get you out of a property is if the science of that universe doesn't line up. And that's some pretty weird science.
But if
weird
that's science. Like, but it's like, you know, how nothing in Star Wars can actually happen in space. That's just the caveat to that universe.
I think it's okay for the thing than that.
Not for me. Like, if Megatron does it and that's like what makes Megatron special, like that's part of Megatron's shtick. No one, well, I guess Soundwave does it too.
I always feel like
it's always
so
been
to a lesser extent
the reflector.
Yeah, yeah, the three camera robots that come together.
So it's like it's always been part of that universe. It just happens. Like they do that. I never questioned that. Oh, this guy's big and. Like, why is he doing that? Why is there mass displacement? He just did it.
I always felt like it was such a like aggressive power move for Megatron to turn into a weapon and then make one of his henchmen, generally his most hated and backstabby henchman, Starscream, use him as a weapon. Like, Starscream, you're such a bad backstabber. Just break him in half. Like, what the fuck?
I think that's also why they kind of push him towards being a tank or like a big weird alien jet so that he's his own thing, that he doesn't require it on, you know, having a minion, you know, use him. So
how can he not fire himself?
I think sometimes they have it, but it looks weird when there's just a Nazi gun.
That was Shockwave's thing. He would just turn into a gun and then hover and shoot things.
Shockwave,
and that's
the
even
laziest
weirder than
transformation
someone holding
of
him.
All time. He hunches over.
I mean, they can drive themselves. Why can't they shoot themselves?
And they can fly. I mean, Matt, Transformer science, this all makes sense. Like, sound waves hovering and aiming, it makes complete sense. But it looks really silly.
Hmm. So, yeah, that was my question about Megatron.
So, okay, so for Transformers, did some properties kind of come out of Transformers, like where they were inspired? Like, I feel, for example, that the Thundercats were a result of the success of He-Man. I feel like, did Voltron spin out of the success of Transformers?
Voltron feels more like a Robotech thing.
Yeah, I think that was already existed in Japan. Like, it was, Voltron was actually like, there were like three different ones.
Oh.
There was the lion one, and then there's the vehicle one that those are the two that I was familiar with. But somebody told me there's another one where there's three of them that combined.
Yeah,
and it was all called Voltron. It was very much like Robotech was like three different cartoons that they just went
mashed together and overdubbed, dubbed over a storyline that would make sense to make these three things make sense together.
How
just like
cool.
The Transformer toy line, the Generation 1, is two different toy lines.
Oh, it's
just
more,
mashed.
It's, yeah, they, yeah, like, all the original stuff was the stuff that Takara had already made from, like, was it Microman and Machine, was it Diaclone, and, like, they were appropriated things. There were other, like, Shockwave and Omega Supreme were other, like, toy companies that are like, hey, we need more stuff. We want to license your thing, and we'll turn it into our thing. Like,
was Jetfire a
Jetfire
Robotech
was.
Thing?
Yeah, like, no, absolutely. Yeah, they that was the one thing they got. They've had all kinds of rights issues with that particular figure up until, like, a few years ago where they finally settled, and Harmony Gold is now not allowed to say anything anymore.
I was so mad when
on the cartoon, he's Skyfire.
Yep.
In the toy line, he's Jetfire.
Yep.
I was so mad at that change from you know, cartoon to toy, because like even as a kid, you look at it and you're like, this is not part of this line, because Robotech existed at that
and he
point.
Was so
like,
he had such a clear Robotech head that you're like,
oh, even like the feet and the legs,
really,
but stuff like,
yeah, it was a much more intricate toy than the rest of them.
Diaclone wasn't in the U.S. So, like, we got all that stuff branded as Transformers.
There was a release called Diacron that I learned recently was marketed in the U.S. from Takara. Like, it was the same stuff. Like, I had some of them, because I remember those little Diaclone dudes. I'm like, how do I know those from 83? Because, like, I'm in the U.S. I don't, like, how do I know these? Yeah. Because that stuff did come out prior to that.
Didn't
like in 83, I think.
When they were branded Transformers, didn't some of them come with the little people?
No.
Because I remember having some.
Little metal people.
You probably had,
but
Diaclone
it might have been
figures.
Diaclone stuff then at that point.
Well, if you think about it, like, that's our so parents bizarre. Didn't know what the hell. They just saw a transforming thing and grabbed it.
Yeah, you know what? We probably got so much of our stuff at Far More.
Yeah,
in,
the like discount stores.
Oh, Far More.
Yeah.
Tip your glasses to Far More, everyone.
There you go, Jody. There's one for you. Far More.
I was a big fan of Far More.
Yeah, it was great.
Should Netflix bring out a cartoon series for Transformers like they did Voltron?
That fucking Voltron Legendary Defender is so goddamn good.
Well,
yes.
Aren't the rights to Transformers already held by somebody that is making a Transformers
cartoon? No, Hasbro owns it. And they're constantly doing stuff, and they're at a point.
Doesn't Hasbro have a television channel? Is it like
they tried that briefly, and right. That didn't go well because
they had there was a G.I. Joe TV show that was out recently within the past 5 years.
Was it Resolute?
No, that was just
one. Was it Renegades?
Renegades. Renegades was pretty cool. I really liked it. It was on like Hub or
the
something
Hub,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was Hasbro's channel for a couple like years. That. At the height of their, you know, when they were raking in the Transformers movie money, they're like, let's do this thing. And I'm like, you're not that big. You're not Disney. Like, you don't, no.
Who owns Thundercats?
I don't know.
They have that Thundercats show coming, yeah.
Oh, that looks
is
like,
it called
thing?
Thundercats
that
Go?
That looks like fucking
yeah,
garbage.
Like that.
Holy fucking shit. Do I hate that trash?
Did you see the hand job?
I think it looks awesome.
Yeah, you're fucking stupid.
I agree. The art director, it looks like a total hand job, but it looks kind of cool, man. But
holy
I was weighing
shit.
On. I was all in on Teen Titans Go. I love
fuck
that
Teen
weird
Titans
shit.
Forever, because now they give us this dumb bullshit. I can't stand
but
it.
But I also preferred like the first run of Teen Titans Go before everyone was turned into really cute characters. I liked it when Slade was the bad guy, and you know Tim Drake, or I guess it was Dix. They never really say who's who. Robin's alter ego was Red X, and they got into some sort of heavier storylines for the audience they were going after.
I wish it was heavy enough to crush the showrunner's head,
current
so that we wouldn't
get
any more garbage like that.
But
I hate both runs of Teen Titans, and I hate that it is now bastardized Thundercats into this fucking nonsense.
But this
like,
may
how,
be
how do we make Thundercats and like not appeal on hey, any hey. Level to the old fans? Like I'm not opposed to it, but like looking, I'm like that is not what you like when you think G1 Transformers. Like it has a look, so like there's an appeal to Thundercats based just on the intro to the show. So when you look at that, you're like
one of the best intros
yes.
to any 80s cartoon.
Any television
nay,
show,
nay I say.
Period.
So they're like,
I agree with
fuck you, cheers.
They're like,
how many times have we sat here on this show and watched it? Thousands. Billions of times.
And beat off.
Every time. Are you going to beat off to this?
That's how we start
no!
each podcast.
Thundercats roar. No.
Thundercats roar, that's
Thundercats
it.
Snore. Go fucking fuck yourself.
Ian, ouch. Quit being a hater.
You know what? Earlier tonight, we talked. This is it, Matt. This is what I hate. But I saw it. I didn't hate and see. I saw it. Well, you know what?
No, you are hating
you
and seeing.
I mean?
That's the definition, asshole.
This is an emphatic response.
The better conversation whenever I was I came off as more even-handed and fair happened off mic. Now I'm a raging lunatic because we finally found the thing that I really hate. Shit.
I'm kind of hoping that this opens the door for the Thundercast property as a whole. That
so like, that once... it's all garbage and people only know it as no, this because... cartoon muck?
Because well, now you know how Transformer fans feel. Because when people think Transformers, they think the Michael Bay garbage.
I am one of them.
Like, that's the thing. Like, it's like this misogynistic, racist garbage. And I'm like,
it's no, racist too?
It is racist.
Oh, it's
there
so
are,
racist.
In the second one, those,
oh,
like,
my God,
those hip hop bots were uncomfortable.
Like, that, were
those,
but that's not.
Did they have names?
Skids and Mudflap, which are existing Transformer names.
Is Mudflap a real Transformer?
Yes.
I know Skids is.
Skids is from T1.
The guys that flipped up?
No, that was dudes? Topspin and...
Topsy-Turvy.
Spin Out or something.
Twin Twist.
Twin Twist,
Twin
yeah.
Twist. Yeah, Twin Twist.
I thought Skids and Mudflap was when you shit yourself. But, but I guess not.
That's
I guess those are
what
Transformers.
Those characters did.
It's
but...
just when you stereotype
people. I thought maybe they were going to be... Runabout, but no, I guess not.
Would that have made it better?
They're real characters.
Well, so are Skids and Mudflap.
Yeah.
Jesus,
yeah.
Quit saying their names.
Skids and Mudflap. That's probably why.
So
they
are Shit
them.
Your Pants.
Michael
and,
Bay probably laughed when he heard the name.
And Dirty
like,
Underwear.
Yeah,
I mean, they're characters too.
That's probably why they got picked.
But yeah, like the traditional G1 Transformers have not been in the public eye enough, but. That Devastation game is G1 Designs. That's out there. The Michael Bay Transformers is out there. The Transformers Animated is also out there. And these are all in the same timeline. You can have three different versions of the Transformers running concurrently, appealing to different audiences with different designs. So can't we do that also with Thundercats? Maybe if Thundercats Roar is successful enough, someone says, hey, maybe this still is a viable property, and we can do something more legitimate with it.
I think that's asking a lot from a property like Thundercats that can only kind of flex its muscle a little bit at a time. Back in the mid-2000s, they came out with that animated series.
This was really the little bit leading to the next little bit, which is a bigger bit.
Keeping it, like, and it might just build a new, like, fan base, like...
The fan base for Transformers is much bigger than...
Oh, it's massive. Yeah, yeah. There's few things that compare.
I don't see any masterpiece Thundercats figures.
I feel like the Transformers movies are kind of universally unliked, but yet people seem to keep going to these things, Ian.
They're critically panned. The fans show up.
But the fans don't even like them.
We show them up in hopes that it gets better, but in
stop
like
going.
No, I go once because I have hope, and
don't
then I stop. Because,
even go once.
No, it's sure, but then I tell people not to go. So like then they've made less and less money, which has helped Hasbro. Hasbro's getting back. They've been trying to unify their brand. They've been wanting to do this since the third movie. Like they've been struggling to get it because it is like somebody did an article. Forbes or something that the strength of Transformers is G1 and everything has to focus there. The toys have been doing a lot more of that. They're referencing back. They look like the old toys, just better versions. And they've been struggling to get back there. The Bumblebee movies kind of inching as best it can.
Fix
within
his
the
motherfucking face.
It's getting there. I can't defend it, but it looks better than it did before. But like they're getting there because I feel like they're on because they're ending the Transformer comics because it was always the movies were away, the cartoon was away, the toys were a different way, and the comics did I say those were a different way, and everything was different. I want everything to be like Star Wars, where it's one cohesive thing. The comics feed into the show, feeds into the cartoon, feeds into the toys. Then you have one cohesive thing, and you don't have like different aesthetics, like. And I think we're probably going to see that over the next couple of years because they're ending the comic. They're not really talking about what the toys are going to look like next year. Like, so in the movie, they're like, Bumblebee's a reboot. Bumblebee's not a reboot.
I thought Bumblebee was a prequel.
It is a prequel, but then they talked about reboot, but then Paramount threw a fit because they still have to sell the movie.
Remember,
Hasbro wants to abandon the movie verse.
Remember,
thank you, Hasbro.
Remember when Amazing Spider-Man came out and Sony would not commit to whether it was a reboot or not. And like, oh, it's kind of building on, it's kind of building on the, you know, the previous three movies. No, it wasn't. It was a complete reboot.
Yeah, it's 100%. It's that sketchiness, kind of like what was something else they did that with? X-Men. They're like, yeah, they don't want to reference that stuff, but they don't like throw it away either. They still kind of reference it if they want to, but yeah, here's a prequel. It kind of ties in, and we'll have Patrick Stewart, but like, we're not fully locked in.
The Bumblebee movie to me looks just like more of the same shit. I don't know, like, why you seem at all optimistic about it, Paul.
Let me tell you why I feel more optimistic about it. Bumblebee looks better. The design of the robot is better than the nonsense.
Okay.
The design of Starscream.
Okay, so the robots look better.
And it looks like a tighter story. It looks like we're dealing with one human character, one robot, plus the bad guy robot.
One villain. There's
a Bumblebee and three Decepticons, I think they've announced.
So they're keeping... Do we know who the other Decepticons are?
Nope.
So it looks like a much tighter story. It looks more like...
There's reverence and like emotion and like love of...
This looks more like E.T. to me
Iron Giant.
Yeah.
It's very much
Iron Giant.
Not being afraid of the alien, and the alien's not an asshole, but he's just this, you know, he's here, he's trying to, you know...
Because the first Transformers movie is big action, big effects, big Hollywood, fuck everything, it's Hollywood. But this looks like there may be a legitimate personal story to tell. Now, granted, I am not ready to put down my money for tickets yet. This movie brand has scarred me. I saw the first one, and I've never seen any of the other ones.
Good.
Because I was so appalled, I never went back. So they've got a lot of work to do.
See, I think the first one's kind of enjoyable.
The first one had...
Because you hate the brand. Because
it would have evolved into something
Chip,
it wasn't...
Chip likes it.
The first
one, he doesn't hate the brand.
It's still bad. It has much more...
It's still bad. Humes. There's your blurb.
There's some stuff. There's more. It's the stuff they abandoned. Because there's stuff in it. It's got like all the weird Michael Bay misogyny and stuff. But and that's all the stuff they followed. But like the reverence, like when the Autobots land on Earth, when those things come rocketing in and they land, and the soundtrack's playing, and there's just this awe of these weird robot things, and I'm like, this is it. Like, and then like it then leads into them, then they have that confrontation where Prime talks to Witwicky, talks to Shia LaBeouf, like, and they go into the history, and it's just that, and it's like, there you go. But that they moved away from that. They started focusing on just the anger and the "I'll kill you" is the only response they have to conflict. So like they moved away from all of that stuff, and like this, they weren't like saviors anymore. They were just like, be afraid of them, and we'll try to kill them.
And there's no nuance to the team of Autobots. Like, in what part of the appeal the cartoon series is that some of the Autobots don't want to fight. Some of the Autobots are like, yeah, this whole thing that Prime's doing, I'm not down with this. The fact that they're
each
all
one
individuals,
of them are fully fleshed out characters.
They have their own motivations. They have their own idea about this war and what they're doing. And in the movie, it's all just kind of washed over, and you just get sort of like, you get Prime and his motivations, and you get Bumblebee's non-talking nonsense.
They're all special
but
effects.
Everybody else, like, is just like, blah.
They're props. They're not, like, that was one of my main problems, is like, as soon as they turn into a vehicle, they are an inanimate object. Like, they, for some reason, didn't want them to talk. I'm like, you could have saved budget by just having conversations between two parked cars. Like, that's what they do. But for some reason, when they turn into vehicles, they don't do anything. Yeah. They don't talk. They don't communicate. They don't emote. You could even throw in some jokes because of, you know, from them, but they don't, they just sat there. They didn't do anything. It was really weird. I don't know where that creative decision came from.
Yeah. They take all the personality out of all the subtle personality out of the characters, because even Starscream in the original series has more depth to his personality. I mean, his prime directive is take over Megatron. but like you even get, you know, more facets of his character in that series. And this one, Starscream's, he's a gun. Like Megatron's like, hey, kill the city, and he just goes and that's it. Like there's no subtlety with the robots, and that's what Transformers should be about. It should be about the robots and their characters because they're people. Like in a lot of ways they should be just as human as the humans
are. No, exactly.
They shouldn't be that weird Soundwave wannabe tape thing, the little like
frenzy.
Oh yeah. Goodness gracious. Yeah, that
like little... you couldn't be more like more that alien fart noise and unrelated
around screen for than a good thing. Percentage of the movie.
Oh. Right. Like you know, even like, you know, you get a distinct feel for who Thundercracker and Skywarp are in the original series. Like there are distinct differences between the two of them. Even though they have the same design, they're both planes. They're
very, you know, very minimal appearance,
right?
But they define it fairly quickly.
But in like, there's same none of that subtle because it's not about like, the robots.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They have a similar thing. While they're both tapes and they have the same build and like, you know,
and even though Ravage,
they have different personalities completely.
And even though Ravage is a fucking panther robot, he has more depth of emotion than Jazz does in the Michael Bay movie, because Jazz is just, he's a fucking guy in blackface. He's a robot in blackface.
I don't know how much that was
like
different
that.
From the original. Like I can't complain about the stereotypes and the caricatures because that's what they did in the cartoon.
Jazz was black as fuck in the cartoon.
Yeah, but yes, he was like, but he like had some depth.
He was a respectful, soulful black. He wasn't a fucking, he wasn't an urban joke.
Yeah, you're not wrong, but
he definitely had a specific place in Prime's army, and a specific thing that he did to like get all the troops in line. And he was essentially Prime's like second in command. Like,
yeah, he was up there. He was the inner circle.
He was the, you know,
cause he
did liaison.
He always did
he
roll
could,
call because it sounded coolest whenever he did it.
Of course,
yeah, you want to give that guy, was it Scatman Carruthers? You want to give that guy lines. Like, here, just talk.
Damn it, do I hate those fucking movies. I hate them so bad. They're so bad. It's so nice to hear Hasbro's pulling
the
away from that.
Bumblebee movie looks like more of the same to me, man. Like, I don't... Yeah, the robots look different. And minorly so.
Matt, at this point, as a fan who is suffocating and who is dehydrating in the desert, I'm looking for any drop of water that's going to make this a viable property. And if this is the first step they need to take to get there are some redeemable things in that trailer. I don't know if the whole movie is going to play
stylistically
out like that.
Though, it looks just like the other Michael Bay ones. It has that same
sense of
discovery, like, oh, I think we found a Transformer. Like, it's
that was
the same.
Like one of my favorite parts. The few, like, he just said it. Like, he had this, like, goofy. Like, it was weird.
But
like,
it's your favorite part because it sucks.
It was the best thing in a pile of garbage. Yes, I understand that.
That movie was so bad.
Marky Mark was saying that line. And
yeah,
it's amazing.
Oh, I had a thought. It's gone.
Was it about Marky Mark? It was
no,
why
it was just about like
it's a Transformer. Why that was good.
So, have you seen Tubo and the Two Strings, the stop motion animated flick?
No.
No, but I saw Kubo in the Two Strings.
I thought it was of the Two Strings and the Two Strings.
It's Kubo, not Tubo.
Kubo.
Kubo.
That. That's what I mean.
Chip, yes. You're so done. Shut off his mic.
Damn it. That was a good run, everybody. Well, it's the same director.
That is directing Bumblebee?
Yes. That's where all of my hope came from.
Do we know his name?
Stephen McKnight, I believe.
And is it...
I don't know if you can trust Chip on this.
Is he a Michael Bay disciple? Is Michael Bay a producer?
No. No, he's not on this at all. He's done, but he's gone.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well, hey.
More in the positive column.
Yeah, that's encouraging. But I feel like it looks like it totally could be
director
part of
Travis
that.
Knight?
Stephen McKnight must be the Daredevil guy.
Maybe. Stephen D. Knight is the 80s television guy.
Michael Knight
is the Knight Rider guy.
David Hasselhoff is directing Bumblebee, everybody.
Glad we worked this out.
That's definitely a positive bit of news. But I mean, I just feel like that trailer just looks like more of the same shit. Yeah, it's going to be smaller in scope.
So wouldn't Kit be like a cousin? I don't know.
Yeah, but he's man-made. He's not an alien.
But he's like sentient.
That's but would the Transformers cousin. Recognize him as a distant cousin? He's not. He's not their race.
I don't know. Maybe Transformers are more accepting. I don't know.
Maybe. Would they put Kit in a cage at the border?
I don't know. Possibly.
Is that the guy that directed? Did he direct those other Laika movies, like Paranorman? Or Box Trolls.
The Kubo thing is the only thing that I know him from.
So. He did direct Paranorman, The Box Trolls, Coraline.
Oh, he did Coraline?
Okay, this guy has a hell of a good track record with animated movies.
See?
Emotional animated movies.
That's my exciting
because
part.
Because this guy's movies are... They're arguably better than, like, Pixar movies. And...
That teamed with Chip's description of how he feels this movie is sort of like an Iron Giant, like a sequel to the Iron Giant, if I may say so. I mean, are we going together, Matt, to see this movie?
I'm going to have to give that trailer a second look.
I mean, it does. It is the same aesthetics. Like they, you know, there's still that desire to make money, so they have to kind of tie it in, but. Like,
can't this property make money without it feeling like it's connected to the other piles of shit that came before it?
I've been asking that about many properties.
But those piles of shit made a lot of money.
Yeah, but this could still make, like, I don't feel like it's reliant on the other ones. Like, I can't go into these things and be like, I feel like there's no cohesion from movie to movie where your typical general audience that goes to see it is like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, this totally makes sense from the last, you know, two movies ago. It's all coming together now. Like, nobody's
I've seen all
that.
Of them in the theater, and I have no idea what any of them are. The only
they
cohesion
all have the same
that people need, transforming robots, Optimus Prime. Is Optimus in this one? All right, we're ready to rock. I think that's what a lot of the people that go see these movies... That's all they need to connect.
All they go for is like it happens to be that's the summer movie that week that is out, and they want to go to the fucking movies because that's what you do in the summer, just not the week that Solo comes out.
Maybe if Solo had Optimus Prime or a transforming robot, yeah.
It had
oh, it
L3.
Did transform. L3 transformed into
the most
Millennium
annoying piece
Falcon.
Of shit.
You know, so there we
I
go.
I hated that character. I really did. I hated L3.
I hated that character a lot more the second time around. Didn't bother me the first time, but after listening to, you know, haters, if you will, I was like, that character does kind of stink.
I didn't like the character. I thought she was just one note and just grating the entire time. Like, I get she's like the snarky robot, but it was too much. Like, the way K2SO did it, you know, there was a... I thought there was more of a nuance to the way his like weirdness was portrayed, but L3 was just a one note boom,
kinda
boom,
over
boom,
the top
boom
a little bit.
The entire time. Didn't like
I was
it.
Also irked by that actress was interviewed and she basically said she'd never seen a Star Wars before, didn't really know anything about it. It's like, then don't be in this movie. Know this property. It's too beloved by too many people.
I don't
for
know
you
why
to...
you start an interview that way. I'm like, don't tell me that.
Right.
Like, I don't want to. No, make shit up.
Yeah, like, about anything. Like,
I hate it when an existing property is kind of dismissed by the people that work on it. For example, when the remember the show Smallville, when that was coming out, the people that were on it were like, oh yeah, I've never even read a Superman comic. It's like, what do you mean? You can't do that.
That was a different media environment. That was a different time, I think. Eh. Comics are a little
kind of
bit
my problem
more.
With Bryan Singer and X-Men. Like they don't read any of this. They don't let the actors read any of the comics. Like we're just going to do our own thing. I'm like
they don't let
I'm out.
The how do they prevent them from reading?
I just don't think they advocate it. They don't give them stuff or tell them not to because we're just going to do our
now
own thing.
Now Marvel and DC drop a box load of material at these people's doors.
Or they seek it out.
It's a different time now.
Yeah.
Supposedly, Jason Momoa like read shitloads of Conan whenever he was Conan, which brings us back to our little Conan side topic earlier.
I believe it's called a shoehorn, but continue.
if you've never seen his Conan movie, it's actually pretty good.
I haven't, but you have recommended it.
I mean, it's probably significantly more watchable than the other movies. I don't know if that's saying much, but I think those are somewhat considered classics at this point.
People do like them a lot.
I don't know. A big German Conan just kind of doesn't really work. Like, Jason Momoa at least looks like he should be Conan. Although I would have liked if they would have given him the stupid bangs.
Before we wrap up tonight, I very quickly, Chip, I want your opinion on Transformers the movie.
The 86 one?
Oh, yeah. It's like we got the touch.
Favorite movie ever.
Fucking hate your guts.
Why?
Because only 20 minutes of that movie is good.
But it's only like 40 minutes long.
Well, so maybe like only 10 minutes of that movie is good.
It's just, it was a very straightforward plot. And like, here you go. Like, here's the thing. Here's this music and the visuals. And
It looked great.
I probably have the same affection for this as I do Last Jedi. I didn't really, there's so much good there that I didn't mind them throwing away my favorite characters.
But at least my favorite character acted like the hero's hero and sacrificed himself and aimed for his friends and acted like every other time that I saw him on screen.
He wasn't.
Optimus Prime was exactly how I thought he would act in that situation.
So Optimus Prime didn't quit on his buddies.
No.
He would say, never, and then smash your chest.
He didn't have a severe case of depression, which has been documented medically through the years.
He did not.
Chip, I didn't like it because even as a child, I recognized merchandising.
It's the show. See, like, it's all that.
All of my favorite characters.
Yeah, dude, do you realize it started as toys?
It was just
to
sell. Oh, I know. I get it. But that doesn't... That doesn't mean I need to like the movie. All of my favorite characters.
Can you get around some of that, and you don't like any of those characters? You don't like Ultra
Magnus, because I
Springer.
I don't. I fucking
grumpy
hate
ass
Springer.
Cup, really? Dumbass hot.
It's one of the best lines ever.
Cup is the only one that gets a pass.
Because he's grumpy like you. You would be Cup if you're a Transformer. You're fucking Cup.
I probably would be. I like Cup. I like Rodimus, but. Like everyone else,
only in the
Hot Rod. I like Hot Rod.
Hot Rod is a numbskull who gets our favorite hero murdered because he's a fucking dumb dipshit.
Yeah.
Why would you like him?
I don't know. I just liked him because
he's a handsome.
Yeah,
Autobot.
He was good looking. He was brash. He was
You're
just
a moron.
Going to. He
I
was
can't
just,
believe you like.
He was playing to his own drummer.
Yeah,
I like Hot Rod and
playing
Cup.
To his own drummer.
Any of the new characters?
I won't listen to Optimus Prime,
like,
the greatest
the
leader
fucking,
ever.
Even the Ultra Magnus toy, I'm like, oh, you're a fucking repainted Optimus Prime.
Ultra
get
Magnus,
the fuck out of my face.
Ultra Magnus was great.
The fucking Galvatron. Then you
Robert
get him, and he's
Stack.
All plastic.
Oh,
fuck
I mean,
you, Galvatron.
I never had. I have
they
never
turn,
owned a single Megatron or Galvatron toy.
Don't they turn? Who turns into Cyclonus and the other fucking
The Insecticons
knockoff?
Turn into the Sweeps, I think. Who's Bombshell?
God.
Is Bombshell Cyclonus or no?
Thought one of the Jets turned into Cyclonus.
Yeah, I think like Thundercracker. Or doesn't Astrotrain turn into one of them?
Nope.
No. Astrotrain makes it out because they kick everybody out of Astrotrain.
Like, lighten the load or we're not going to make it back.
That shit's so good. And fucking Starscream just stabbing people in the back.
I like...
Look on Starscream's face.
I like
when
how...
he throws Megatron out.
I like how intense it is. I like this, oh my God, this is like adult Transformers. I like that, but I don't like that after that, it's like, okay, fuck all this other stuff you like.
Did
you're
you
stuck
hear about the, like,
Springer.
The approach? They're like, yeah, we were like phasing Springer. Out the toy line. They were just like, they're just killing them off. And like, if they don't kill Optimus Prime, we might not be having a Transformers conversation. Like, that's like... ingrained itself in our psyche. Like, holy shit, our hero just died.
The fervor was so high-pitched, like, that they had to bring him back. Because in the days where you had to write letters to networks and toy companies, they brought him back. They felt the pressure.
It changed.
You couldn't just go and tweet. You had to write a letter.
It caused them to change the G.I. Joe movie because of it. Because they were going to kill Duke.
They did kill Duke.
No, he just got shot.
He
was fine. They're like, hey, he made fine. It.
They overdubbed some later lines in the movie.
They killed him originally, but then after the outcry, they overdubbed it to be like, it was just fine. He made it.
Yeah, that. Like, they,
but if you take out that dialogue,
he's
Duke
dead.
Is
because
dead.
If you just look at the raw footage of, like, Sorpenter's staff going through Duke's heart, dead.
So,
but also
Transformers came out before G.I. Joe, the movie, right?
Yes.
Why was that such a thing in the 80s? Kill the main character in the movie version.
You've got these, like, 40-year-old dudes who are just like, they're running a company and they see them as toys. They're just robots. Like, they don't.
They're not people, Matt.
They didn't understand the connection that a lot of their consumers had. Like, they were basically just superheroes. Like, you know, Optimus Prime was the father to many kids growing up in the 80s. So, like, they didn't know this. They found out later when the parents freaked out because their kids bawling leaving the theater.
I remember my cousin, who was about 8-9 years older than me, went to the movies and saw Transformers the movie and was like, yay. And Optimus Prime dies. And I remember crying. And my dad, like, don't worry. He's just being a jerk. He doesn't die. They don't kill him. Don't worry. Consoling me. And then I remember going to the theater watching Optimus Prime die.
Because it's not even.
Did you cry
like
then?
This.
I might have.
It was a drawn out scene too. He gets, like, you get to be there as he's dying. Not because he dies and you're like, you got to deal with him, like, just being dead. Like, yeah, he's wounded, he's dying, you're at his deathbed, you're watching him fade away.
They're basically, like, giving him his, like, robot
Yoda?
Last rites.
Yes, like,
he's telling people what he wants to do in his absence. It's his will, his robo-will.
I don't even think, like, dramas did that in the 80s. Like, they're just, somebody dies off screen. Like, your dude's dying right now. There you go. Boom, dead.
You saw the life leave his body. He turned gray and his head, like, fell on the operating table. Fuck you, Ratchet.
And then they do some fucking weird midichlorian bullshit with the matrix of leadership that anyone can be Optimus Prime. Well, if you can handle the matrix of leadership.
He can be a prime. But you not can't Optimus be, Prime. He doesn't turn into Optimus
Prime. He doesn't turn into Optimus Prime. But
stupid Rodimus
this
Prime.
Is then we're forced into this is your new hero.
When
this is your new leader.
When did he die in the movie? Was it in the beginning?
Oh, it was early. First 15 minutes. It was very early. It was a traumatizing watch.
So that the rest of the movie you're fucking stuck with Weird Al and some other
shitty
also, robot aliens.
By the way,
it's like in Hostel 2.
We are skipping over a lot. Like, that's the main trauma. We're skipping over earlier in the movie.
The Decepticons attacking that ship.
The Decepticons attack another Autobot ship and straight up murder all of the Autobots. And I will never unsee the section where the Decepticons board this ship, this Autobot ship. And the Autobots turn and they're like, oh no, the Decepticons are here. And we've watched years of Transformers, so we know how these fights go, right? A little pew, pew, pew. And people fall down and they're unconscious and it's fine. Megatron screams something like, die, Autobot scum. Transforms into said Nazi gun. Goes back into, I think it was... Starscream's hand. And Starscream starts gunning down Autobots. And once again, you thought, pew, pew, pew. People are going to fall down.
No.
Shoots Prowl through the chest. Close up. Zoom in. Prowl's life leaves his eyeballs. Red smoke. Blood smoke trickles out of his face and eyes. And he falls on the ground. That's dead. That's really dead. Everybody else gets murdered in a similar fashion.
Murdered. I like...
Good. Oh,
it was murder.
Oh, don't
it was
forget Ironhide.
Straight up murder. After this, Matt, you're watching this. like very heavy soundtrack going on in the background as well. They take over the ship. Megatron's like, all right, let's set a course for Autobot City and fucking murk some other Autobots unsuspectingly. Ironhide's laying on the ground and reaches up and is like, no. And Megatron, who has a cannon on his arm, looks down, I think laughs, and blasts Ironhead's face off. Fucking shit. I was very upset.
Yeah, by the time you get to Prime's death, like you're already catatonic.
So who's the main character
processing
in the
Prime
movie?
By the time you get to him?
Now this goes to Paul's beef with it. It's all the new characters that we were introduced to.
Plus
10 minutes.
Bumblebee
ago.
And Jazz, the only original characters that make it.
Bumblebee
out
and Jazz are captured on Moon Number 2, and aren't really in the movie.
Yeah, I guess they're not. But they are alive
survive.
At the end. Well,
the Dinobots
sort of.
Are in it.
Fuck the Dinobots.
They're in it. They're original.
But the main characters are characters that you're introduced to in this movie. You've never heard of them before, and they're new for the ride.
It's like in the G.I. Joe movie they introduced, was it Hawk? He was like the new character.
General Hawk?
General Hawk, played by...
No, it wasn't General Hawk. It was...
Is it Falcon?
It was Falcon.
Falcon.
It was, what's
his... I knew it was some kind
from,
of bird.
Miami Vice.
Yeah, it was Don Johnson.
Don Johnson, yeah.
And he gets dropped off and gets trained by Sergeant Slaughter and his Slaughterettes or whatever his crew is.
Why wouldn't Flint be the guy?
Isn't Flint wrapped up in some bullshit? I don't know.
I know.
I haven't
so,
seen the G.I.
I know,
Joe movie.
Me neither. I know so little J. about G.I. Joe.
Was that his side piece? Is that?
Yeah, it was very Scarlet. Much. No,
Scarlet
was
Duke.
Lady
I
J.
Lady
was
J. was like
Flint's.
Fighting over. I thought they were fighting over Duke.
G.I. Joe's. Who cares? What was Cobra up to?
Terrorizing the world.
Weather Dominator.
We're gonna wrap it up tonight. Chip, tell me your favorite and least favorite Transformer.
Favorites? Probably Optimus. You gotta.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Deep cut. I know what it is, but what's your deep cut favorite Transformer?
It's probably Optimus. Like when you go to it,
it's not a deep cut.
Like deep? What do you mean deep cut?
Don't you have like a severe Sharktacon fetish?
Oh yeah, well yeah, okay.
Who's your B-side?
Like, don't say like it's some casual
okay,
shit.
B side, yeah, Sharktacon. He's a weird tadpole with giant shark teeth. Like, yeah, it's like I like the weird guy. He's just kind of weird, big bulbous. Predator looking thing. Alright.
Paul,
Matt, do you have a favorite and least favorite? Does anyone matter in the Transformers U?
I liked the cassette player, the red and yellow
Blaster.
And gray one. I thought he was cool. My brother, that was the one that I owned myself.
He was street. You would have played nothing but a G thing on him.
I was able to transform him. I thought he was easier to transform than Shockwave. I felt because there. I feel like it was more plastic. The Shockwave character had more metal going
you mean
on.
Soundwave.
Soundwave, yeah. And he came and he had the cassette tapes that turned into pterodactyls, or something.
If Laserbeak turned into a bird.
No, but Blaster.
Oh,
Blaster
had.
Had
yeah.
Blaster
was
had
it?
A
no,
rhino.
No, no. I mean, I meant Soundwave.
A rhino, a lion, and two dudes.
Yeah,
the Blaster's guy turned into a. Or wasn't it an eagle?
I thought it was, maybe it wasn't a pterodactyl.
Maybe it was a
Soundwave
eagle dactyl.
Laserbeak and Buzzsaw.
Paul, your favorite Transformer or Transformers?
My favorite Transformer is Prowl, the police car. Prime's other right-hand man. The guy that was all about business, all about order, getting the job done.
And my favorite is Jazz. I guess it would be his left-hand man. All about the party. But also, roll call.
I guess my least favorite is probably Springer because he's the embodiment
Fuck
of
you.
Everything. Everywhere the cartoon
First
went wrong.
Autobot,
what's
triple
his,
changer.
What's his best line in that movie?
I got better things to do tonight than die.
Fuck yes, after he everybody's getting murdered.
Awesome. It was such a slap in the face.
What a good
that line is a slap in the face. That's why we have Hume's Augustus?
Arthur.
Hume's Arthur Grossman. Right?
Yep, that's
Grossman.
Me.
Grossman. He was Arthur Grossman Jr. That's why we brought
third,
him
third
on the podcast third. Because he knows all Springer's lines from Transformers the
There's
movie.
There's so many good. It was the 80s. Like movies were all about one-liners, and Transformers had a ton of them.
I don't even like Springer's like design. He doesn't even turn into a real helicopter. He's like a space helicopter.
Space helicopter.
Get the fuck out of here. That's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you, Chip, for joining us tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We really appreciate it.
No, it's fun.
My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Cassell.
We'll see you next time.
Transform and roll out.